Friday evening. I'm Casey Dyer, and this is the place you can hear short tales for wise kids, wayward grown-ups, and for everyone who knows that you are never too old to listen to a bedtime story.
Episode 51. Here we are. The penultimate episode for this year. Got a new story for you. Tonight is the longest night of the year. So I'm going to tell you a story about that. I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. The longest night. She sighed. The longest night, and therefore the last. A bittersweet time, really, because while coming to the end of so much work brought relief and the promise of a full night's sleep afterward, the work was an unspeakable burden. She sighed again and rubbed her fingers over her eyes a moment before she picked up her pen. The lines around those eyes were deeper, she knew, but there was nothing to be said or done about that. Her fingers ached these days, too, and her wrists, from laboring over infernal machines day and night. The numbers were never ending, and keying them in ceaselessly wreaked havoc on her body. But this night there were no machines. This tally must be done manually, and the accounting would go into the books in her usual careful hand, with a certain old-fashioned copper plate slant to it. Moonlight shone through the window, and her cat jumped up beside her, demanding attention. She couldn't really push him away. It just served to engage him further, one paw swatting at the pen in her hand. She looked around for a means to distract him, but there was none, and even if there had been, he was in a mood. She twirled the pen in her fingers absently and stared through the icy glass pane beside her old desk. Outside, the blue-white sheen on the snow was broken by moon shadows cast down from the branches of the dead tree above. She could go outside. Had she done it in the past? It was so hard to remember. But why not? Without even being aware of it, she was on her feet, wrapping her favorite muffler around her neck and gathering all the materials in her arms. The cat squawked in alarm and fled deep into the warm shadows inside as she stepped out into the cold and sat lightly on the old wooden chair on her porch. The chair, old as it was, didn't creak under her weight, and the crisp air brought new vigor to her movements as she readied her things for this final task. There was no doubt the accounting was difficult. It seemed to get harder each time. Much of it was mundane, listing number after number, counting every grain of sand on the beach or each star in the sky. As the numbers lessened, though, it became harder to keep each stroke of her pen true. Why was there so much pain as the digits dropped? Slowly, the stars swirled above her head and the moon moved across the sky, and her ledger filled, line by line, number by number. Her head ached, and the pins that held her hair so neatly by day dug in and slowed her hand as she wrote. At some point, perhaps it was the steam from his breath that caught her eye, she looked up to see the black wolf had joined her, sitting just out of reach, alert and ready beside her in the snow. She loved the wolf, even though she could not quite recall why he was there. The horror of what she wrote made her fingers numb, and the copper smell rising from the ink nauseated her. She knew it would. Coming to the end of each page gave her an excuse to pause a moment, try to clear the images out of her mind, unhear the screaming, forget what could never be unseen. It was foolishness, she knew, yet when she shivered it was not from the cold. The night wore on, and the number of completed pages in her ledger grew. The wolf was still, apart from one ear that swiveled to catch any change of key in the ice-bound air. In spite of the horrors that spilled onto each page, the movement of her fingers took on a peaceful, practiced rhythm, as she recorded each name and age, every circumstance. Hanging, she noted carefully, and evisceration. Electrocution, stoning, erysipelas, radiation. Her fingers moved across the page, stopping after every five or six words to dip the pen into the tiny crystal bottle that never seemed to empty. Her head ached, perhaps from the pins that bound her hair so neatly in place. Or perhaps not from the pins at all. Smothering, somehow so different than suffocation, and even from strangulation. Fine distinctions, yet important. Asphyxiation. Inattention. Pneumonia, misadventure. Snakebite, immolation, drowning, poison. Every ending noted. And even when her fingers had stopped shaking, her tears fell on each page. Gluttony, starvation, stoning, infection. Lightning strike, goring, castration, bludgeoning. Milk fever, neglect, stillbirth. In the end, of course, the accounting was complete. Final words written and blotted, though that was hardly necessary in the cold, as the words nearly froze to the page as she put them down. The ledger closed at last. She flung the hated pins one by one out into the snow, and her hair tumbled down in a mass of joyful curls down her back. She groaned in relief and shook her head once, and the feathers and jewels carefully woven beneath sprung loose. The pen dropped, forgotten at her feet, leaving a thin line of ink behind, turning sepia already. She pulled the scarf away from her throat, not bothering to unwind it, but instead yanking it over her head so that it caught a moment in her thick, jeweled mass of hair. Soon her stockings and sweater joined the scarf on the porch, but no pile of clothing resulted, as they faded from view a few seconds after she tore them off her body. Her skin had begun to burn, and her heart filled with exultation. The terrible part was over, put paid to at last on the pages of the ledger. She ripped the sleeve of her undershirt as she pulled it off, and the fibers disintegrated under the heat pouring from the palms of her hands. Her movements took on a jerky urgency, and the wolf whimpered once from his place in the snow before running into the shadows of the night woods. At last she could stand it no longer, and she leapt straight up from her spot on the old porch. Her foot caught the tiny crystal vial from where she had dropped it, knocking the last of the ink across the carefully swept boards. The final drops trickled onto the top step, where they evaporated into tiny scarlet puffs of steam. The steps themselves she bypassed entirely, leaping lightly from the porch out onto the last of the moonlight playing across the snow. She stood in the spot the black wolf had laid bare for her moments before, and her hair rose out from her scalp, each strand on end, until it haloed out around like the waves of a dark ocean. It was woven through now with leaves and the feathers of ravens and peacocks, and shards of glass that caught the starlight and reflected it back to the glittering sky above her head. Her mouth opened in a soundless cry to the void, and in seconds it echoed back, filling her ears with a great wall sound. The black wolf reappeared, this time carrying the ledger in his mouth, and he raised it up to her. She took it, careful not to touch him, and he gave her that sort of insouciant smile only a wolf can give, before retreating into the safety of the dark distance, as he knew he must. She took the ledger in her hands, and the tough old cover held out for a few seconds at least, long enough to raise it high above her head. And then the glow from her hands and her hair was too much, and there was a sudden conflagration of light and heat and sound as the ledger exploded into flame, blood-red steam from the ink whistling out and up into the darkness. The flames themselves burned first white and then blue. Her eyes narrowed to slits to take it in before resolving into red and yellow. She turned the flaming ledger over in her hands again and again. And as the flames danced and burned, she smoothed and shaped and leveled and refined. After a time, her arms grew tired, but she still held the flaming object aloft till she felt it was perfect. Then at last, she reached out into the darkness and tucked the incandescent thing down into the snow, until only the faintest trace, orange and pink, remained in the sky. Tiredness took her then, and she remembered the cold. So she turned and began to walk back toward the old porch. She felt ashamed to see she'd left the door open a crack, and the cat stood there, rubbing his whiskers on the doorframe and watching as she creaked back up the worn steps. Her white nightdress was draped over the back of a wooden chair by the door, and she donned it, grateful for its warmth. She crept into the back room and nestled into her bed at last, asleep, before the cat could curl into his spot beneath one arm. And outside her window, the sky began to burn with a golden light as the sun rose at last, newborn and fresh with promise after the longest night. Well, there you have it. A story for the longest night, written and told on the longest night. Kind of, the mythology of this came to me while I was out walking my dogs in the dark in the woods. And I kind of like the way it turned out. Anyway, I hope you did too. We are 1 week away from the last story of the year. It's a very strange feeling for me. 51 stories told. I hope you've enjoyed them. If you haven't heard them all, can go back, find them on my blog. Sometime this Christmas week, I'm going to try and find some time to get my website organized and have the stories put not in the order they were told, but in the order that they are best listened to. And so that's my hope. Anyway, wish me luck. And for you, I wish you good luck too, and a lovely evening. As the dark settles in, it's quite late now. It's almost 1 o'clock in the morning, and I still have to mix this and sort it all out, add pictures and put it up. So this is a late story tonight, but I think it's okay since it is the longest night. And the sun will be coming back again starting tomorrow, and will be returning to us, newborn and fresh with promise. I will see you next week. Until then, good night.